To kick off each hour of Thy Will Be Done pledge drive, we've asked the Catholic schools in the Archdiocese to say a prayer.
Notre Dame Academy Senior Class of 2023, led by Nick Husnain and Allison Diaz.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. Good and gracious God, we give you thanks today for the gift of life. We are grateful for those who love, support, and guide us unconditionally as we continue to grow into the people you have called us to be.
We ask you, God of all creation, to help us be bearers of peace in a troubled world. Give us strength and courage as we stand firm in our faith in you and as we stand for justice and truth. Grant us wisdom to see and understand the gift that each person we meet is a gift from you, brought into our lives to help us be the best version of ourselves. More open, understanding, kind, forgiving, honest, compassionate, and loving.
And finally, we ask your blessing on each one of us, that we may build your kingdom here on earth. We ask all this as we ask all things from heart through your Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please listen to AM 1160, The Quest.
Thank you very much. That's from the students at Notre Dame Academy. I'm Dave Savage, the programming and production manager here at AM 1160, The Quest. And this is the final, the 24th hour of our pledge drive, where the theme is Thy Will Be Done. And we thought, what a great way to cap this off, talking about Thy Will, because we have five newly ordained deacons in here. And what's that?
It's been a one-year anniversary, yes. A class of
newish.
Still a little green, but yes.
The collars are still white, and you know.
Exactly.
So excellent. So anyway, I forgot all your names now. So you are.
Who do you want me to be?
Great.
No, I'll just say, hey, Deacon, can you?
There we go. Hello, my name is Deacon Stan Stewart. I'm from St. Jude the Apostle Catholic Church in Sandy Springs, Georgia. And married and two children, both in college, one a senior, one a freshman, and happy to be here.
Yeah, we're happy to have you, too. Who did you bring with you?
Well, I brought some of my formation brothers. I have Deacon Rod Arian with me, Deacon James Martin, Deacon Joe Rovat, and Deacon Geza Garbin.
Great. So why don't we go around the horn here and just brief introduction. Sure. Tell us about yourself.
Sure. Deacon Rod Arian, currently deacon at Holy Trinity Parish in beautiful Peachtree City, Georgia. Been married to my best friend and beautiful wife for 36 and a half years, named Jamie. I have been blessed to have a son that's 26 years old, hard to believe. Got a birthday next week coming up on 26. So that's it for me.
Cool.
Brother James?
Sure. Deacon James Martin. I'm at Immaculate Heart of Mary in Atlanta. Been a parishioner there for my entire life. God bless. I've been married for almost 32 years to my best friend. We have four wonderful kids. The youngest is a junior at UGA. The other three are out and doing just fine.
Excellent.
I'm Deacon Joe Rovat, and I'm from St. Teresa's of the Child Jesus in Douglasville. Originally from Cleveland.
Georgia or Ohio?
Oh, I should say Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay.
And my wife and I met in college, my wife Terry, and I are married 42 years.
Great.
We have two grown sons in their 30s. Serving their country as a defense contractor, and one is an officer in the Space Force. Also have a grandson in high school, and he's spending his time in high school, and he's spending his free time being training to be a volunteer firefighter. And I got to say, as we were raising the boys, Terry was working as a blood bank specialist for nearly 40 years. I'm currently retired, but I was a career officer in the Air Force and then retired and then became a defense contractor. And the Air Force moved us around a lot, and we eventually came down to Georgia about 10 years ago and fell in love with St. Teresa's in Douglasville, where, among other things, Terry and I both direct the RCIA program there.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Thank you.
Isn't it so appropriate, guys, that we were going through class together? Joe's the only one that wrote notes.
Yeah. He's the only one who got 100, too. I'm Deacon Gaze Garibin, and I'm at St. Thomas Aquinas in Alpharetta, Georgia, coming up on 32 years of marriage to my beautiful wife and best friend, Beth. I have two daughters, one in Knoxville and one here in Cumming, Georgia. Dawsonville, and I'm a new grandpa, so that's the biggest thing that I have. So it's a blessing to have a beautiful granddaughter, so I'm excited to be here, just like all the other guys.
Yeah, thank you all of you for being here. I'm just going to mention a couple things. We've got, for the first six callers here, we've got free hoagies from Nucky's in Marietta. From what I understand, they've got great hoagies. So we're going to have to go try one here after this is all over. But if you want one of those free hoagies from Nucky's in Marietta, be one of the first six callers, or you could do it online as well. The number to call to donate is 470.
Down to four.
Oh, we're down to four, they're telling me. Okay. So
they're going quick.
Yes,
they're going quick.
They're going quick. The number to call is 470-508-1160. You can log on to thequestatlanta.com or the Quest Atlanta app, and you can get your free hoagies there by making a donation. Real easy. And also, we've got matching funds here, $4,500, $4,500 in matching funds. So if you want to do that all in one fell swoop, that would be great. If you want to donate $4,500, take that right off the table. I'm fine with that. If you can't do that, any amount in between, you know, $5, $100, whatever, we will match that dollar for dollar. So we're talking about thy will be done. And for all of you to become deacons, I mean, that's quite a commitment in discerning God's will. Any of you want to? Yeah.
Sure. So I was lucky to grow up with parents who were very involved in the church, ironically IHM, and they always demonstrated for me how important it was to serve God through whatever gifts that God gives you, whether it was collecting money for St. Vincent de Paul or being on the parish council or volunteering in the various ministries. And that was something that was very profound. And my wife, Mary Pat, had a very similar experience with her mom and dad. And as we began our lives as a married couple and parents, you know, it's tough to balance the life and work and family and church. Mm-hmm. But as I matured in my faith, I became more and more involved in the church, whether it was ministry or asking how I could help out. And it was nothing snazzy. I think I started as an extraordinary minister, was a lector, wound up being a sacristan. And the great thing about it is I was always welcome, right? If I said to somebody at the church, hey, I'd like to explore that, they said, James, come on, we'll show you how to do that. You'll be fine at that. And that sort of culminated and percolated, if you will, for a period of years. And I never really thought much about it until my very dear friend, Deacon Eric Wilkinson, also at IHM, said to me one afternoon as we were moving a table across the parking lot, looked me in the eye, and he says, James, have you ever thought about being a deacon? And I think I've shared this story with my brothers before. It was literally the blindness coming off my eyes, the mud, if you will, washing away. And I thought, this is what God has been saying to me all this time. And I realized everything I had been to that point was bringing me to a point that God was saying, this is something I think you should explore and look into and do. And that was 2015. Hmm. And here we are coming up on 8 years later, and there's just no looking back. And as I've shared with my brothers here, and I'll share with the audience, there's been no greater blessing in my faith journey than to serve his church as a deacon in whatever way he calls me. And, you know, here I am on the radio, never thought I'd be doing this. So I guess my suggestion is open your eyes and open your ears to what God calls you to do and be receptive to whatever that is. And he will lead the way and he will open those doors and make it possible.
Yeah. I'm a extraordinary minister and a lector at my church. I wonder if I'm headed down the same path.
Well, you know, keep your eyes and ears open, and you never know what he calls. And
if you got $20, we can say something this time.
Absolutely. Anybody else want to jump in on thy will be done? I mean, you're all deacons now.
Yeah, about to say,
is the Archbishop listening?
Yeah, I always tell people I lost a bet, so that's why I did it for 5 years of commitment. No, it's kind of the same thing with James' story. Came with my mother and father were my best and brightest spiritual directors I've ever had, and it was always about service and serving others. Growing up, that example that they gave to me was something that I continued on with the faith. And even as I got older, got through college, right? Some of my being routine, going to Mass, holy days of obligation, didn't seem to be as near as important as it was under their tutelage. But I still continued with the faith. I still kept looking into it, still knowing that there was a connection there. And back in, actually, it was 2014 as well, that we had the Christ Renews His Parish going on at St. Jude, the Apostle. And I turned it down 6 times before very easily and did not want to do it. And on the 7th time, actually, Carol Tearsmith, who works here, volunteers, her husband Jerry, approached me and really convinced me to give it a go. And I thought, well, if a Jewish guy from New York can convince me to go, I'll give it a go. And even though I was, well, quote, trained through school, through my parents on my faith, I always doubted myself of, like, how much did I really know? Like, what did I really understand? Yes, I was active at the church as far as volunteering as a lector, as an EM, but I always kind of doubted myself. And if you've ever gone through that type of weekend, all of a sudden you hear people sharing their stories of challenges, of successes, of failures, and it keep coming up. And it just opened my eyes to where there's so many different stories out there that people go through, their different journeys. And, at the end of that weekend, I was just, emotionally and spiritually just like torn down as far as, just in awe of what my faith means. And you go through a 6-month process of putting on the next, chirp weekend for the people of your parish, men's, women being separate. And when I went through that, I volunteered right away, went to, the weekly meetings. And then when we were presenting to another group of unknown men to us, they started to, there was a gentleman at my table that didn't know why he was there. And he had the same type of experience where through each one of the talks that went on, you could see that wall being torn down. You could see him, opening up. And it was such a beautiful thing to behold that at the end of that weekend, I was like, man, that's just one person. And it wasn't, my talk that I gave. It was, the group effort. It was the community that was there to support people. And I was, and all of a sudden, I could see, kind of like you said, with the mud out of your eyes, like, I know more about my faith than I thought. It was when you were putting together and all of a sudden quoting scripture and trying to put together any type of talk, I was like, I know a lot more than I did. And then I took the initiative as I reached out to Deacon Jim Tremonti at my parish and said, what does it take to be a deacon? What is that about? And then all of a sudden, it was funny that you didn't realize in your past how many people have kind of brought that up previously, and I never paid attention to it. Like all those breadcrumb trails of people encouraging me to do that, and I just never gave it a single thought until after that weekend. And so that was my big drive and my big push to, give it a go and see, go through the 5-year program, 1 year for interviewing, right? That was a joy for all of us. But then 5 years later, finally getting to where we are now. And it is a blessing beyond all blessings when to accept that type of call. And it was just amazing of the veil of the suppression that I know I had personally that felt like it was preventing me from growing in my faith. And all of a sudden, that being torn apart or torn off of me really opened my eyes and my heart to so much more that's out there.
Yeah.
Deacon Stan, I think it's an important part of listening to your story again to realize that you made yourself vulnerable, right? Mm-hmm. And you were willing to take a risk to make yourself vulnerable, to be part of that. And I think sometimes that's where people get caught and stuck, is they might be feeling this nudge or, how am I following God's will? But they're not willing to respond to it. So you responded to it, yeah. So,
and but to bring to that point too is in the Bible, we see the phrase or some facsimile of it, "Be not afraid," come up 365 times in the Bible. Be not afraid. Once for every day. Yeah, so it kind of, to that point, Rod, it gets to that point of, hey, you know, step out of the boat.
Yeah.
We all feel safe in the boat until we see Jesus walking across and we're like, whoa, that's a ghost. So, yeah.
We're talking with five deacons here on AM 1160 The Quest, and this is the Spring Pledge Drive. Thy will be done is the theme, and what a great way to wrap this up, the 24th hour of our 24-hour marathon, I guess, of Pledge Drive. And let's give some shout-outs here to some people, very generous people. And I do believe that the free hoagies from Nucky's are gone at this point. Yeah.
I'm out of here.
There might be some more later. Who knows? But we do have still the $4,500 in matching funds. Okay, so whatever you donate, up to $4,500, will be matched dollar for dollar. I want to say hi to Teresa in Douglasville, parishioner of St. Therese of the Child Jesus. So thank you, Teresa. Also, Lynn in Douglasville. Deacon Joe, thank you for all you do for St. Teresa. Holly and Carl of Kennesaw, in honor of Allison DeLule and Steve Balmas, who were on this hour yesterday. Thank you very much. Maria from Douglasville. We've got Mari from Atlanta. We've got Lynn from Douglasville, and says, Deacon Joe, thank you for all you do for St. Teresa. And sounds like Deacon Joe's winning this one. I don't know. But
you stuffed the ballot box. Yeah,
they raffled off a dinner with Deacon Joe after all this.
He's an overachiever.
Honestly, I didn't twist any arms. Eh?
And also Mary Pat in honor of her husband, James. She's from Atlanta. So thank you all very much for your generosity. And we are talking with the deacons. We'll take a break here in about 10 minutes or so. Anybody else want to jump in on the conversation we had? Because, yeah, go ahead.
Sure, it's Deacon Rod. And my path is a little different. I look into that will be done and coming in maybe two parts. The first is I'm a convert to the faith. I married into it. And I remember explicitly our wedding vows is that I would agree to raise our children, if we could have any, be Catholic. And my wife and I, after we got married, we struggled for a while to have children, and we weren't sure that that was going to be in the cards and it was going to happen. And I remember very clearly one day, it had to be June, July, if I do the math right, of 96, my wife calling me while I was at the office and said, I think I might be pregnant. And I said, well, why do you think that? I go, where are you? She goes, I'm at the doctor's office. I said, I'm pretty sure they got that nailed, that if you are pregnant. So, and I remember just as clearly as it was yesterday, that this overwhelming feeling of I need to follow up on my vows to become Catholic. I would go to Mass. We would go frequently, and I would attend church with her and her family. But I thought, well, I need to go ahead and do this. So I remember accepting the inquiry into RCA, and I remember very clearly that evening is why I was there. It had nothing to do with trying to do this for my family and my son. This is about me and my relationship with God. And so thanks be God with all the wonderful RCIA people and programs that we have. I was sponsored, and my wife was with me all the way till the very end, because our son was born 1 week right before I came into the church. So I came into the church 1 week after he was born. So I received all my sacraments, baptism, confirmation, and First Communion. So it was like a spiritual high, you know, the birth of this grace of having a child and then being able to come into the church. And at Holy Trinity at that time, we were having church in the hall because the sanctuary is being renovated. So it's a very memorable event. And then as years went by, I just got more involved in the parish. I would become I became an usher. I served on the finance council for a number of years. And like similar to Stan, I got immersed into the CHRP, which is now called Welcome, Christ Renews His Parish Program, and really got connected with that and helped men in their continuing formation and leading retreats. And you know, we even brought it to up to Athens. So we were part of a traveling team, and it was a really wonderful time and wonderful experience. And I think we all share this. The more you give, the more you get back in what you do give. Mm-hmm. So that's been a real blessing. And then 2015, I started feeling this restlessness in my heart of I needed to serve differently. And then a couple of people approached me and said, "Have you ever thought about becoming a deacon?" And I would look over my shoulder like, "Who are they talking to?" kind of thing. And then kind of the... where I needed to take it more seriously is when my pastor, Father John Murphy, approached me and said, you know, in a very polite and kind of subtle way, "Have you ever considered this?" And I really started to discern if this was what God was trying to, you know, that's what that restless was in my heart. And then...
Yeah, when one person asks, maybe, but when two...
and then it's your pastor, then, you know, it started from there. We went through the application process. And like my brothers here, the fact that I'm able to serve at the altar is extremely humbling, to be that close to Jesus, mm-hmm. At the Mass. And I've shared this with others who asked me how it's going. I sometimes stand up there at the altar and I look back to where I would sit with my wife and think, this just doesn't seem real, mm-hmm. you know. But it's an incredible blessing. And I'd just like to share with people who haven't given already, please do, that are listening. But the other part is that sometimes that, or how God speaks to me isn't like a big audible voice. It's little nudges through people, through a conversation, or it's a thought, or something that happens in prayer, and to not ignore those calls. Mm-hmm. And hopefully you can do thy will be done.
Absolutely.
So Rod, if I had to surmise, it was pagan Catholic deacon. Yes, gotcha. Good. Good journey.
Yeah.
Anybody else? Because, yeah, go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to piggyback on what Rod was saying. You know, sometimes people say things to you. People say things to you that plant seeds. And I was having this conversation many years ago with my nephew, my wife's nephew, and he had expressed that he wanted to pursue becoming a deacon. And he was too young at that time, but the idea resonated with me, and it just stuck with me for many years. I prayed about that. I was uncertain whether this is something that God was calling me to, but I prayed over many years, and then I was starting to feel drawn to that. Work out for me, and it took many years before I actually started thinking about saying yes, was that my mom was living with us at the time, and she was requiring a lot of care. The boys were growing up. We had work. The Air Force was keeping me busy moving us around. But over time, you know, some of those things, you know, went away. Boys grew up. But we ended up moving to Georgia, and somehow this call that I kept on feeling or getting from God became stronger and stronger. I guess it's the water or something like that. but we ended up at St. Teresa's, and I can't tell you how nurturing and loving and welcoming a parish that is. And so I was drawn to the church more and more. I found ways to serve. And I was actually helping with a confirmation prep class. Was a catechist, and there was this program going on called Decision Point by Matthew Kelly. Hmm. Some of you may be familiar with
it. Yeah, read some of his books.
Yeah. Great stuff.
Anyway, there was a video, and he'd talk to the kids, the teens, every week. And he'd say, hey, God wants you to become the best version of yourself that you possibly can be, so that you can help others and love each other. And, you know, the kids were listening, the teens were listening, and so were we. And I heard this every week. And then he started asking this question, what's holding you back? And then he started saying, almost saying, what's holding you back, Joe? And I just couldn't find any reasons. The kids were growing up. My mom had passed away. We had moved down here. I'd retired. And so that's when I began the looking into to the diaconate formation and going through that wonderful year of application and meeting these guys in this room. Yeah, that was a fun year.
Yeah.
What a great group of guys to be on this journey with me.
I'm guessing, were there like any whoopee cushions involved with the whole process?
That's off the record.
Just looking at this group, but thank you all for the, you know, taking this vow and everything. We're going to take a little break here in just a second, but I want to thank some people. And Deacon Joe, how do you pronounce your last name?
Rovat.
Rovat. Okay, so the H is silent.
Yes, it's Slovenian in origin. So anytime you see those an H and an R together, pretend the H isn't there.
Okay. So Susan from Douglasville, that's in honor of Deacon Joe Rovat. Margaret from Hapeville, in honor of Deacon Rod Arian, is it?
Yep.
And Daniel from Atlanta, in honor of Deacon Stan Stewart. And Amy from Johns Creek, in honor of Deacon Jerry and Sally Kazin. So he's not even here right now.
He must have been good.
Yeah. She says, love the Cameron. So thank you very much, everybody, for donating. We have the $4,500 still on the line here in matching funds. So each one of those names that I read, whatever amount they donated, is doubled. It's matched dollar for dollar. And you ever remember the Jerry Lewis telethon? And we haven't gone like around the clock, like past midnight and everything, but this is the 24th hour of, you know, of doing eight hours. And I feel like, you know, this is the Jerry where he's got his tie loosened and his sleeves rolled up. And that's where I am right now. But anyway, let's take
a little
break.
That's also the reason for the enormous smile on your face.
We'll be right back in a minute.
You're listening to AM 1160 The Quest. And this is our spring pledge drive, where the theme is Thy Will Be Done. After hearing these stories of God's will, if you're moved to donate, please call 470-508-1160. Go to our app or go to thequestatlanta.com. Remember, The Quest is 100% listener supported, and we rely on donations from people like you to stay on the air. We'll be back to Thy Will Be Done pledge drive shortly on AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
AM 1160 The Quest presents Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults.
Hello, this is Joey. In today's world, art is so prevalent in our lives, but how often do we look at the art around us and really consider the deeper meaning behind it? Art is such a purely human creation, and if we take time to think about it, then we might just grow closer to our Creator.
Honest to God, What's on Your Mind?
This Saturday at 4 p.m.
on AM 1160 The Quest.
Yeah, hi. I'd like a medium, half double decaffeinated, half calf, mocha non-fat with four shakes of cinnamon.
That'll be $5.86. Please call around.
There's nothing wrong with spending $5 on a coffee, but is it helping to bring you and others closer to Christ? The cost of four of those coffee drinks each month could be your monthly donation to The Quest. We're totally listener-supported. We rely on donations from people like you. Please prayerfully consider making a monthly donation to support AM 1160 The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
A Lenten reflection on AM 1160 The Quest.
Lent challenges us to seek beauty amidst the fasting, penance, and almsgiving. Pope Paul VI said,
"This world in which we live needs beauty in order not to sink into despair. It is beauty, like truth, which brings joy to the heart of man and is that precious fruit which resists the wear and tear of time."
This Lent, be the light to others, radiating and reflecting Jesus and his beauty to all those you encounter.
The Quest presents Pro-Life Minutes.
In war, after a battle, there's always a casualty list, a report of the dead and wounded. The list after each abortion is one dead and one wounded. The pain of abortion is real, and the scars are present in a woman's heart and soul for a lifetime. Most women can tell you the exact date and day of the week of their abortion. All post-abortive women can tell you how old their child would be if their baby was not aborted. Even if a woman initially believed the abortion was a good decision, it will eventually catch up with her. Studies show that the majority of post-abortive women end up regretting their abortion. Millions of men and women mourn their lost parenthood daily. Please help guide them towards healing and wholeness by visiting healingafterabortion.com. Let's show the world that every life matters by speaking up for life at every opportunity.
For more homegrown wisdom, visit thequestatlanta.com.
Thy Will Be Done Pledge Drive on AM 1160, The Quest. Make your pledge or donation by calling 470-508-1160 on our app or go to thequestatlanta.com. Now back to Thy Will Be Done Pledge Drive on AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
And I want to mention that we've got another 20 or so minutes left for that matching funds of $4,500 that is on the line. We still have a lot of that available. So get your pledge in now before 6 o'clock at 470-508-1160. You can go online to the Pledge Atlanta. The Quest Atlanta. I'm just getting tired right here. But yes, thequestatlanta.com or the Quest Atlanta app that's on your phone or tablet. And we are talking with five deacons from five different parishes in the Atlanta Archdiocese here. And who's going next year?
I'm the last one.
Okay,
yeah. So
we're, and basically I'll just set this up in case somebody didn't hear earlier, but the theme is Thy Will Be Done. And so we're asking the deacons, you know, if Thy Will, what God's will, how did you end up being a deacon?
Well, for me it was a definitely different path than it was with these guys. I grew up where the church was extremely important, building our faith and all. So that part of it is probably the same as everybody else here. But I left home and I moved down to New Orleans and then came up to Atlanta back in 86. And I kind of fell away from the church and then I came back to it. And it was a place that brought a lot of comfort. There was a lot of familiarity with it. I built a lot of friendships through it. And as I was going through, and I was at All Saints, and I got involved with the youth groups there and also the singles group and a lot of things like that. And at the time, Monsignor Kiernan asked me to enter into the seminary. I was hemming and hawing about that, but eventually I went ahead and said, yeah, I'll go into the seminary. Well, at the same time, I met my wife. So, you know, and that at that time was, I was very, you know, what's going on here? Mm-hmm.
You had hair then?
Yeah, I did have hair. Okay, I did have hair right. Then, yes.
That was the exodus of his hair.
Yeah. And we were, the priest who was taking us through marriage prep because I brought it up with him, and he said, it's both vocations are beautiful vocations. Being called to the priesthood or being called to the vocation of marriage. And both of them are extremely important, mm-hmm. especially with the family being the core of our faith. But I went ahead and said, you know, I went home for Christmas one year and then came back and asked my wife to marry me. And that started a 32-year...
You know, guess that was a big no to the seminary then?
Yeah.
They're still waiting.
They're still waiting on that one. But that calling never really left the back of my mind. And I got more involved with the church after we got married. I did a lot more things. Became a sacristan over at St. Bridget. And things just kind of culminated after my daughter started my oldest started finishing up college. My wife and I had a serious conversation because the calling was so strong to at least apply for the diaconate. And that's what I did. That's what we did. So we went ahead and applied, and I didn't know where any of this was going to lead. And one thing led to another, and here we are. I wound up changing a parish. It's from St. Bridget to St. Thomas Aquinas, which was huge because it reminded me a lot of when I was at All Saints, and the people there at St. Thomas Aquinas are unbelievably welcoming and open arms. And it's just this whole journey has just been, for lack of a better term, joy-filled, because I'm doing a lot of things. I'm working with a lot of couples that are getting married and working with the youth group there. And it's just, it really is just joyful doing God's work and just seeing where he's leading us. It's a day-by-day thing, not planning much else on it, just seeing where it all goes.
Yeah, I think, Gazy, you reminded me of something that we all kind of tangentially mentioned about our wives, is that how important our wives are to our formation, right?
Oh, yeah.
And the fact that you don't make it to ordination without your wife's support, and they have to be along for the journey because this is such a commitment of time, and our wives make a lot of sacrifices for us to be able to do this. So it's important that people that may be unfamiliar with the diaconate and here in the Catholic Church, how important that is, that our wives, for us married men, are along the journey with us, and they have to give up quite a bit of sacrifice and their willingness to support us in this journey.
It's a very Marian moment, right, of thy will be done, when we ask for their permission for us to be shared with our time with them, with others.
Yeah.
So, yes, there's no way we would have made that without their full support to encouragement, right, that their belief in us. I think they probably saw something in us before we saw it ourselves.
Well, they married us.
Amen.
Well, and you know what people may not know is diaconia is Greek for service. And this ministry that my brothers and I share is one of service. Now, people who know me at IHM, sure, I wear an alb and a stole, and I'm proclaiming the gospel and once in a while preaching. But what people don't realize is this is a ministry of service to the people on the margins. And that's the poor. That's the outcast. That's the people that society spurns because of any number of conditions that we place on people. And what my brothers, not only these fine gentlemen here, but everyone in the diaconate do, is we've taken a large part of our lives and devoted it to serving God's people. And there's great joy in serving those, especially the poor. You know, and what better time than Lent to talk about, you know, almsgiving and penance and prayer, and to recognize people who really are in need of our love. And, you know, my hope is that each one of us in our various ministries, whether it's liturgy or whether it's St. Vincent de Paul or you name it, that we are able to serve and touch people. And how ironic that here we are at a radio station for a pledge drive, and we're talking about touching people and spreading God's word. So I'm going to challenge my many, many friends at Immaculate Heart of Mary, who I know are listening, to pick up the phone.
Both of them? Or?
Both of them, yeah. This excludes my immediate family. I'm going to encourage you, if you've not done so already, to log onto your computer, get on your smartphone, pick up the phone, and support.
And that number, James, is 470-508-1160.
Hey, friend, I'll share with you.
And we also have thequestatlanta.com and the app.
Hey, listen, guys, you want some inspiring information, tune in to Father John Ricardo in the mornings. Listen to what he has to say. I've heard presentations and homilies he's given multiple times, and I'll listen to it every time.
Mm-hmm.
And this was even during formation when I thought, well, I'm learning a lot about my faith. I don't really need this. And yet I was drawn to it, and it touched me, and it continues to touch me. So, Dave, this is a great ministry, and we should all support it as much as we can.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for that. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. You know, when you hear, and I agree that when you can hear these things on the radio, especially, I don't know about my brothers here, but going through formation, I summed up my formation in the diaconate program is there was a lot of study, a lot of ology classes, a lot of things that were I felt a little intimidated by. But I always thought that I summed it up, the more I know, the less I know. And what the beautiful part I appreciate about Catholic radio is all the brilliant people that are on it, and how much more information they can provide for me to help me on that journey of not knowing more than I don't know already. But in some ways, you may know it, but it reaffirms it. So it's great to have that voice out there in Catholic media to help support that.
Yeah.
And I wanted to add on to what Deacon Rod just mentioned is the Catholic radio is a wonderful tool for evangelization, reaching out to other people who may not be of the same religion, same faith. And it's a great catechetical tool. A lot of people can call in, learn about things that they have questions about. And since it's anonymous, usually, you can be very free about your questions and not be, not that you would be judged, but it's a great way to get information out there. And I know people who have been touched by Catholic radio. Jeremy Noonan,
I was just going to mention Jeremy.
I sponsored in RCIA, was on the radio on your show here.
The last pledge drive that we had in the fall, yeah. And he became Catholic on All Saints Day, was it?
On All Saints Day.
Yeah.
Catholic radio was a big part of his conversion process, and so it's a great evangelization tool, and we need to keep it going. We need to please, if you're listening, please make a donation.
Well, on top of Jeremy, there are other people that we know of who have either converted or have come back to the faith, and of all the ones we know of, think of how many more there are that we don't even, like, they never told us, you know? And even if it's just one person, makes it worth it. So, you're absolutely right, Deacon. It's a valuable tool, and if you want to keep it going in Atlanta, we need the support of listeners, like anybody listening right now, if you've benefited from either this talk that we're having with the deacons, or maybe you've heard Father John Ricardo, maybe you've heard, Called to Communion, or any number of the shows, if you've listened and benefited from it, you know, think of what that's worth to you. You know, is it, you know, do you pay for Netflix every month? Do you play for, you know, Hulu and all these that, you know, I don't know, are they doing anything to bring you closer to Jesus? I can't answer that for you, but I probably could answer that for you, but I won't. But think about that, and a monthly donation to 470-508-1160 would keep this going in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. And if you don't pledge, we take you off our prayer list. So that's always the negative, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So so I know we were talking about this earlier, and you kind of touched on it, is, you know, I see the, you know, like I see the deacons, you know, they read the gospel, they, you know, assist in the mass and, you know, homily once a month or so, and that's about it, right?
No.
Hardly. Ask my wife who's listening.
No.
But you were saying, you know, whether, I guess some deacons might be involved with St. Vincent de Paul, or some, you know, are involved in different things. And obviously there's a lot more to it. I'm assuming, you know, hospital visits and...
Yeah, there's so many different ministries that the deacons get involved in. We have one of our deacons goes into does the prison ministries a lot. Joe, you do prison ministry a lot too.
We go visit the Douglas County Jail inmates there, bringing them the Word, bringing them Eucharist if they're Catholic. Mm-hmm. We meet with all denominations, but we go and visit prisoners at least once a week, and it's part of our jail ministry.
Yeah, and then, I mean, I think all of us have been involved with marriage prep. I've had a few couples tell me that after they got married, that none of their friends in the other denominations go through a marriage prep class, and they're like, they are so thankful that they have been through it, because it just gives them that foundation of centering it in on Christ and God, and mm-hmm. making that a center of their lives together. So we've got that. We've got the youth ministries. There's so many different ministries that the deacons get involved with, that it's, being a deacon is like James had said earlier, it's about service and where mm-hmm. where we are being called to serve and to help. You know, it's our job. It's our job as deacons to serve and help the people. It's Christ's job to save them. And if along the way we get people over to Christ, hey, thumbs up on that one.
Mm-hmm. And we do that by supporting our pastors, right? Because and our priests, they get so overextended. So in the areas that we can, that's why we're there, to also serve, and why we often help with either communion services to nursing homes, or if we have to help with baptisms or marriage prep, all these other things, to try to support our priests and our pastors. And that's really important. We're there to serve. We couldn't do this without their support.
So, mm-hmm. yeah. And what if there's somebody listening right now thinking, you know, I wonder if, you know, maybe should I be a deacon? What would you say to them? I mean, how can they discern that?
I would suggest that if they... hopefully they're actively at a parish, and they know the deacon or the deacons at their parish. My humble suggestion would be set up a coffee or a brief meeting and just ask someone who's been through the process how they got there, what was their journey, how were they called, how did they answer, "Thy will be done," mm-hmm. and learn about what's, not so much what's involved, but what's a way to discern that. And then ultimately, anyone who's really interested would need to go to their pastor first and get his permission to go forward. But I know a lot of people who are in the formation program now, who are deacons now, and they discerned this for a long time.
Yep.
Yeah. I think, you know, thinking back, I think I'd started discerning this a long time ago. And I just, a quick thing I just have to share, when I told Mary Pat that I wanted to go talk to Monsignor Al about being a deacon, she smiled at me and said, "Well, I'm not surprised." So to your point, Deacon Rod, I think our wives were way ahead of us on that.
Well, I think too, it's important to realize when you decide to go forward, take the first step in that journey, that our formation for 5 years is a formation. Is this what I'm being called to do? Is this something that, you know, you're not self-serving your own interest, you're actually here to serve? And, you know, you're not getting a master's in theology, but you're finding out, is this the right calling for me to do, right? And I'll be honest, the first 4 years, I think every prayer I had to God was like, are you choosing wisely? I can't believe I'm here. I think it took the last
year. We might still be thinking that today. Yeah.
No, but to your
Thanks,
point,
Rod.
But to your point though, Stan, is that you know, we're all questioning, you know, even now, are we, you know, is this the direction that we got to go? I mean, you know, it's a constant formation and it's constant calling to do some kind of a service for Christ and for God.
Mm-hmm. Getting back to Deacon Stan, your point about the formation process, we were constantly discerning whether to make the next step, to go to the next year. And I think
glad they kept reminding us that in our formation. Yeah. Seriously, I'm really glad that just because you were accepted, your application was accepted, and you're here, you are discerning until the bishop lays his hands on you.
Yeah, that's funny. Mm-hmm. That's really, and even then, it's a constant formation after that.
I think the goal was not to put the con back in deacon going through the whole process. So.
Yeah.
Are there a lot of deacons who don't follow through? I mean, I shouldn't say deacons, but people who start on the path and then don't do
there,
it?
There are a few. I wouldn't say a lot. The application process here in the Archdiocese of Atlanta, what's a good way to put it, is thorough.
Let me jump in here. I'm realizing we're running out of time. I want to thank all these people. Jen from Atlanta, in honor of Deacon Stan Stewart. Thank you for all you do at St. Jude. Randall B. from Dallas. We want to thank Alex. You know Alex, don't you, Deacon Joe?
Oh, Alex?
Yeah, from Herndon, Virginia.
Your son.
Yeah. Debbie.
Thank you, son.
Debbie from Sandy Springs. That's in honor of all of the 2022 Deacon class. Thank you for answering God's call.
That's my wife.
Thank you, Debbie.
Virginia, in honor of her deceased husband, Bill, from Dunwoody. Lila, in honor of Deacon Stan Stewart, thank you very much. We got Keith. We got Craig, in honor of all the volunteers at the Quest. And Robert, in honor of Deacon Joe Rovat. And also Mick, in honor of Deacon Joe Rovat, both from Douglasville. We are running out of time. Deacons, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for helping out the Quest.
Thank you for
having us.
Thank you.